Hi, everybody. This is Ken Wilson. Once upon a time, I broadcast blues hockey. I always listen to Let's Go Blues Radio. It's everything you'll want as a blues fan. Oh, baby.
Stop doing those diet or workout fads to lose weight. Use the tried and true approach from Rockin' That Idea Life that helps you find balance while enjoying food in moderation and nourishing your body. Try the Lean 30 program at rockinthatidealife.com and let today be your last first day of your weight loss journey.
When buying or selling your home, you need to feel protected. Realtor Mike Burgoyne not only looks out for your interests, but as a St. Louis area police officer, will make sure you feel safe and well-informed with every decision. Email Mike at strikewithmike.com and start the process today. That's Mike at strikewithmike.com.
Get ready to hear some noise tonight. You're just seconds away from Let's Go Blues Radio.
Let's have a Donnybrook.
Eric Brewer was so bad.
Are we like Oakville Corp? Are we suspended?
I reciprocated the dickness.
Selfish hockey.
That's right. Selfish hockey.
What did I tell you about stick tape?
You don't need it!
No doubt about it, eh? You're listening to Kurt, Bill, and Jeff on Let's Go Blues Radio, the original St. Louis Blues hockey fan podcast. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to episode 24 of season 13 of Let's Go Blues Radio. This is the often imitated, never duplicated. I was trying to capture the spirit of the thing. We're the original St. Louis Blues hockey podcast, Let's Go Blues Radio. Special thanks to our sponsors, rockinthatidealife.com and Realtor Mike Burgoyne for once again proudly sponsoring the show. Please check them out. Also, don't forget to check out our t-shirt shop at letsgoblues.com for the very best St. Louis Blues team t-shirts at an unbelievably fair price. It is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. This is episode number 455 all time, and we're streaming live right now on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I don't think Instagram, I think we are as well. I think we're going vertical. I don't know. And we'll do Grindr, OnlyFans, one of these days. Ponder's well-versed in the Grindr.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's really, you know, I thought we left those to Austin, and he just, you know, keeps getting distracted by them. And that's the allegations.
To interact with the show on social media, our handle on the socials is at LGB Radio. I'm Kurt Price, and my co-host for the big show tonight is Bill Day. Jeff Ponder is literally on assignment. The agenda for tonight includes a discussion about the Blues for, well, this is old news. discussion on tonight's show is going to be, we're going to talk about the Blues, briefly talk about the Minnesota shootout win, the win against Anaheim, and of course, last night's game against the Avs, which we'll talk about in more detail. And we'll talk a little bit about Bull Duke and the strength of schedule and the remaining schedule for the Blues. They have 13 games left. And on the outside, looking in by a few points. So we'll look at what's ahead for them and what the schedule looks like for them and the Vegas Knights, who, going into the season, a lot of people wouldn't have picked the Knights to be right here, clinging to that second wild card spot. But here we are. So all that and more in this episode of Let's Go Blues Radio. Bill, how are you tonight, sir?
Oh, I am doing well. Enjoying this nice little 2-0, 3-0 lead for the Kings.
I am behind you, I guess. There he is. I just saw it. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. Hey, no problem.
Yeah. And we talked about this before the show. We want the Kings to win this game, right? We
yes.
do. I'm
yes,
pretty sure.
Because we want the Vegases to not make the playoffs.
Yes.
And the Kings are above them currently in the standings.
Yeah, I would. I mean, whether it be the Blues or the Wild, I mean, preferably the Blues for me. Some people don't want the Blues to make the playoffs. But are Blues fans, that's weird to me. But, if the Blues can't get in, I want Vegas to not get in. Anybody but Vegas, right? So.
Yep. And the hell, Arvidsson is still playing? Man, I thought he was like done a couple years ago.
This will put some a little bit of distance between the Kings and the Knights, and this will prevent the Wild from pulling 3 points ahead of the Blues. They're currently
yes.
one. So this is a good development for the Blues. in the first period in LA. Some announcements. Jeff Ponder may be joining us later. I say later, and there he
is. And he shows up.
So weird. I say Jeff Ponder may be joining us later, and boom, there he is. It's like a disease.
You said Jeff Ponder three times.
I did. And he showed up. So here, let's, don't put him on yet. Okay.
Yeah.
He's gonna sit and watch. He likes to watch.
He's got a return from OnlyFans mode.
Oh, he's got the pants on. That's what it is. Okay. All right. So we'll just kind of say that on Monday, Chris Simon, former Washington Capitals and among other teams, forward tough guy, committed suicide on Monday night. He was 52 years old. His family believes that CTE played a role. So he did win the Stanley Cup with Colorado in 1996, which was their first full year in first year in Colorado. What is probable another victim claimed by CTE in the wide world of sports, Bill?
Yeah, way too many of them. Former NHLers, Wade Belak, Derek Bogard. The list is getting too long.
And if you're laughing quietly, Jeff, we can. I don't think you can hear you.
I was laughing.
Okay. There we go. Okay. I thought you laughed out loud. I'm like, I can't hear you, Jeff, sir. How are you? When you said that, you know what? I'm gonna be you're New York, right? New Jersey, New York. Where are you?
New York. Yeah.
New York. Yeah, when you said, I'm going to be in New York, I'm not going to be on the show, I'm like, bullshit, you're going to come on for at least a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I said your name three times, and boom, you appeared.
How do I sound to you fellas?
You're a little quiet. Okay. Turn it up.
Quiet? Let me see what I can do.
We're just talking about Chris Simon. We're just talking about Chris
Simon.
I know,
Simon. I heard, and that, dude, I mean... I hated that motherfucker as an NHLer, right? Like, we all did. But but that's the beauty, you know? Like, you love to hate the guy. And so when you hear he dies, it's heartbreaking, you know? Because it's just like, he was a part of me growing up watching hockey. And it was just like, you hated the guy. But you hated him because he was good at what he did.
And I didn't know this, but Dickie Dunn, you said, Bill, he passed away.
Yes. And Emmett Walsh passed away today. So
from Slapshot.
Yeah. So we thought we'd pay him homage in the quote segment of the intro.
Yeah. I tried to capture the spirit of the thing. Yeah. So anyway, are you with us for the duration, Jeff, or do you gotta take off in a while, or where are we at?
I can hang out for a bit. We'll see how we do. How's my sound, by the way? Am I a little better?
I mean, you sound a little quiet, but you never know when it comes to post production what the levels are going to be. Because like sometimes you guys sound spot on. It's like, wow, you're loud.
Yeah.
Come time to edit. So we'll see.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I'll do my best to stay here as long as I can. Want to talk some Blues hockey, even though I didn't watch like more than 3 seconds of the game last night.
Oh, well, I wasn't going to talk about the Minnesota game, the Anaheim game too much. I was going to focus on last night's game because it was a good, we had a good game against Minnesota, Anaheim as well. And then I thought a pretty good game against Colorado for the most part, but couldn't get it done. But anyway, are we doing beers? Jeff, you have a beer? Bill, you got a beer? I have a drink. I don't have a beer.
I have a beer.
Okay. So our official beers of episode number 455. You can follow each of us on the Untappd app. My handle is CPrice12, Jeff's is JPonder94, and Bill's is Billy Blue Note 33. And we did go Bill first last week.
Correct.
Right?
Okay. Correct. And until last night, the mojo was still working. So
like I said, I didn't think it was a terrible game of the Blue. I thought there were some mistakes. I mean, they made some mistakes.
17 but, defensive zone turnovers.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? They traded punches with the Avs, and it was a fun game. I just,
Yeah.
A couple of bad mistakes ended up in the back of the net, and that was the difference. So, but let's go with you, Bill.
All right. Well, I am breaking.
Ooh.
I'm breaking from my Imperial Stout run to go with the latest edition of the Voltron Four Hands collaboration series. This one is with my favorite Minnesota brewery, Surly. And, it's an IPA. It's pretty good. For me, not a massive IPA fan, hardly distinguishable from the others.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
Because this is the third, right? This is the third release?
Fourth. This is Valor 4.
And they're all IPAs, and they're doing five.
Yeah, so we assume Valium 5, which would be the Blue Lion, will also be an IPA.
It'll be weird if it's not an IPA at this point.
Right. It totally will be. And I guess, you know, they didn't really go with they just went with the lions. They didn't go with the characters because that could have been interesting. Do they go with Sven? Do they go with the princess?
Yeah.
For the Blue Lion.
I said they should have done an extra one for Sven.
For sure.
You know, that that'd have been awesome. That is hitting home with the diehard Voltron fans there.
Yeah.
That would have been a sweet can to have.
Yeah, it's and maybe they'll do a special release for that. But
that would make nationwide like beer magazine news, you know. Yeah. That can. And that'd be a Voltron collectors would want. I mean, they probably would do anyway, these cans, but that's the one. That'd be the one to have out of all of these.
Yeah.
So the one of the
ingredients in this one, and I think this one they should have done with the Blue Lion, the last ingredient. So it says with unmalted wheat, Strata hops, Mosaic hops, and Allura. Why not put that in the Blue Lion for Princess Allura?
Oh,
right.
Damn,
that is
man. The details, folks. The details.
Yeah. I mean. The longer this goes on, the more, and I love Four Hands, and this is a very cool collaboration, regardless of what kind of beers they put out. But it's like, oh man, where's the committee that is, right. You know, the people with the Voltron knowledge that should be on this committee to making decisions for little details like this, right? To kind of make it extra cool.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, it's, you know. For an IPA, it's good.
Good. Well, that's,
I've had a couple of them now, and I plan on drinking the rest of them. So,
Jeff, are you next? I'm last, right?
Yeah. How do I sound? Good.
You sound. You know. You're okay. We'll roll with it. You roll with it. Maybe a hair better.
A hair better. Oh, that's not good. A hair is not good.
I think it's okay. I think you're good.
All right. Yeah, so for me, okay, before I give my beer drink of the episode, I will say, being in New York this week, I've been here since Monday, I have asked every place I've been to, bar, restaurant, Korean grill, like, give me something local. That's what I always say when I go to any bar, anytime I'm traveling. And every fucking time, it's been an IPA. IPA every time, and I'm just like, God, New York, make something else.
That applies to everybody. Diversify a little bit more.
Right? Evil Twins there. They do amazing job with stouts, right? Jesus and all that. More
Jesus, I've had that.
Yeah.
But I have. This might be a first on the show, guys. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure. First on the show. I did stop last night on my way back to my hotel, and I just dropped the package. I'm excited. Hang on.
Is that Hims? Is that Hims? A package of Hims?
I did pick up.
Is that condom? What is that?
What? They're edibles.
Edibles.
I have had some edibles tonight. so 60 milligrams. Yeah, so we'll see what that does. I just took them about 10 minutes ago.
So about a half an hour, you should be all right.
We'll see. Be ready on the mute button. Yeah, as I say, I might mute myself throughout the show.
60 milligrams, that's a lot.
Yeah. Not for me.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but those are like a different recipe, right? That's not your norm, right? So you never know.
It doesn't matter a whole lot, but
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Because like 60 milligrams, that's a lot.
God, I really hope my mom's not watching. but tonight I am not actually having alcohol. I am having something with beer in the title. It is a butter beer from the Harry Potter store.
You're reversed. You're mirrored. Did you know that? I just realized that.
Oh, you're mirrored.
I am. Yeah. There's nothing on this. There's nothing to tell me that you're mirrored except the label on the bottle.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I will figure that out, but,
maybe I can do it for you.
No, I think I might have it here.
Yeah, I can't do it.
As I'm trying to talk. Mirror camera. No.
There you go.
There we go.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Actually, it looks better the other way, but okay.
What? No, shut up. So, yeah, I am having butter beer from the Harry Potter store here in New York. It is not actually beer, but my Lord, it is tasty as hell. Butterscotch flavored sparkling soft drink is what they call it, and it is very good.
I've heard good things. I've heard good things.
10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
8 minutes off.
Yeah. And 11 minutes there. 11 o'clock there.
It is.
Really should have gone with the Cyndi Lauper to get that accentuated New York accent in.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm...
Hey, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
So I will say my first, and I've been to New York before. Many times actually, but this is a great like coming to New York story. I'll tell real quick. So we were on the I think they call it the Queens Tunnel, like going underneath downtown. Like we'd just gotten there from my flight JFK. I'm in an Uber, and you know there's two lanes, and the one lane that we're in on the left, there's a car that's stalled. And so everybody's trying to get over, you know, but like everyone's zooming past in the right lane. The car in front of us, there's a guy that's like sticking his head out and he's just like, hey, let me over. And like, you know, all these cars are zooming past. So finally, this taxi, and I think they did it on purpose just to be an asshole.
Forget about it.
The taxi slows down and he's like, let me over. And so then like, they start going over, and then the taxi zooms by. And the guy just, you cocksucker. And he yelled it like 9 times. And I even said to the driver, I go, well, welcome to New York.
Well, I was just going to say.
He goes, yep. He's like, be prepared to hear that phrase every 5 minutes.
Who sings the song Welcome to New York on the Secret Life of Pets? Who is that? Is that Taylor Swift? Who is that? No, it's not Taylor Swift. Who is that? Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's the song I was thinking of when you were.
That's a great song, by the way.
Yeah. Secret Life of Pets. You've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie. They're coming up with a second one, aren't they?
They
already came out.
Yeah, it came out.
Long time ago.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. I need to see that.
Where you been? New York?
In New York.
And my beverage is I just have a water this evening. I'm not drinking a beer, so don't have one down here. Don't feel like going and getting one. It's a flavored water, a lemonade flavored water. So
if water would like to sponsor Let's Go Blues Radio, you can reach us at radio@letsgoblues.com.
It'd be funny. Who are your sponsors? Well, you know, we got a realtor, and you know, we've got some hydration packets and health packets, and we got water.
That goes well with rocking that ID life.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. It goes well. I mean, when you sell a house, you drink water, and when you buy a house, you drink water.
Yeah,
and
you gotta stay hydrated.
And rocking that ID life, you mix with water. So Yeah. A little collab there. Okay, so we'll get into the Blues games over the past few days, and we'll talk about where the Blues are in the standings as well after these messages. Don't nobody go nowhere. You're listening to Let's Go Blues Radio with Kurt, Jeff, and Bill.
We'll return after these messages.
We've all tried a diet or workout fad at one time or another, but it always ends the same, right? We either lose the weight and then get back to our routine, but then put the weight right back on, or it just simply never takes hold. It's time to move into a habit-based program that focuses on organization and simplicity. Rockin' That Idea Life's Lean 30 lays it all out for you with the correct food to eat, how to meal prep, and even sprinkles in plenty of healthy recipes. With Lean 30, you'll get the full ID Life arsenal, including energy for that needed kick, a tasty Nourish shake for your needed fiber intake, Slim Plus, to help control your cravings and provide a metabolic boost, Lean Capsules help bust those sugar cravings, and ID Nutrition gives you the added punch you need that takes the guesswork out of what supplements to take. Join the many who are seeing success and make this your last first day on a new program. Visit rockinthatidealife.com to get started, and remember to email Dustin at rockinthatidealife@gmail.com for an extra 10% off exclusively for Let's Go Blues Radio listeners. Start your transformation to the confident, vibrant person you've always wanted to be with rockinthatidealife.com.
St. Louis hockey fans know how it takes a reliable captain and a team of hard workers to achieve major goals. As a police officer and a hockey player, Realtor Mike Burgoyne would wear the C in any situation. As a leader in the home buying or selling process, Mike has surrounded himself with a team of trustworthy inspectors, lenders, and escrow officers that work together more cohesively than Hall & Oates. And as a member of many teams in his life, Mike knows the service our first responders, veterans, nurses, teachers, and yes, even you Let's Go Blues Radio listeners provide the community, so he offers special rates to those individuals. Find the value in Mike's leadership and teamwork today by emailing him at mike@strikewithmike.com or calling 314-753-4060. He'll work closely with you and only show you the homes that match your goals. That email again is mike@strikewithmike.com or call him at 314-753-4060 and succeed with your new teammate today.
And now, back to Let's Go Blues Radio,
the longest-running
St. Louis Blues podcast with Price, Ponder, and Day.
Well, the Blues played some pretty good hockey this past week. They took down Minnesota in a shootout 3-2 on Saturday night. This was a fun game. I watched this game from the pitch in, I guess, Midtown St. Louis, near the soccer stadium. First time I've been there.
Station.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it was a first time I've been there. Great place to watch a sporting event. Holy, have you guys been there?
No,
I have.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you have, Bill. When did you?
Not for a sporting event. Went there after work since it's fairly near my office.
Yeah,
and dinner was pretty good.
Yeah, well, we didn't. Oh, we had a pretzel there at the bar, and we had some beer, but then we went there. We were gonna go see a performance downtown and at the Stiefel, and we had free tickets, and we didn't end up going because we couldn't find parking that was close. And we're like, I was driving around, and we're like, you want to do something else? I'm like, okay. So we wanted to go to the pitch a while back, didn't, because it was like balls of the wall, crowded, couldn't get in. So we went there and we got there at the end of the first period when it was 0-0. And we sat right at the bar. It was maybe a fourth of the way full, not many people there, but it got more crowded as the game went on. And then the soccer game after was not overly crowded, but there was a lot of people there. And it was a fun atmosphere. Watched the Blues game there, ended up staying for the soccer game, which we hadn't planned on doing, but we did. Fun place. But, you know, I saw Jack Adams from the letsgoblues.com forums from back in the day, saw him there. And I was like, is that him? Yeah, 'cause I had met him once before. And I was like, is that him? I think it's him. I was telling him, and he goes, go ask him. So I did. I walked up to him, and before I even got there, he looks at me and he goes, I saw you over there. I know who you are. Jack Adams. I don't understand his real name, but that's his screen name on the forum.
Oh, Let's Go Blues guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he was, and I was walking up to him, and he goes, I saw you over there. I know who you are. I'm like, okay, I thought that was you.
Kurt, I absolutely hate giving you compliments, but I will say this. You have not aged in 20 years.
That is bullshit.
You do not age at all. Comparatively speaking, look at me and look from 10 years ago, and you're just like, holy shit, that dude gained 45 years.
Well, you know, the facial hair, the beard, beards are maturity. I mean, I wear a lot of backwards hats, and I can't grow a beard, so I just shave a lot, and I look younger. And
with
I'm
your wrinkles. There's not a lot of wrinkles. Bill, am I off base here?
I'm moisturized. Thanks. I guess I don't know. I have good genes. I don't know. I moisturize. So there you go.
I don't know. I don't really pay attention to what you're wearing on your legs.
Get it, huh? That's news to me. Jeans. I've like that's not funny. What everybody else says. But yeah, so we talked. It's funny because I was talking with him for a little bit, and he seemed to be under the impression that we were decision makers or on the board or part owners of Center Ice Brewery, since they were like sponsors of the show for a long time. And I guess he thought that we were more involved with the brewery, like day-to-day business, than we were, which we weren't at all. They sponsored the show, and we were friends with the owner, and that was it, and we went there a lot, and that was about essentially it, right? So, he was like, I didn't understand where he was going at first with this. He kind of attacked me. He was like, man, I used to love Center Ice Brewery. What are you guys doing? I mean, are you guys opening up somewhere?
We're running them out of business is what we're doing.
I was like, I don't know. I kind of misunderstood him at first, and then I caught on. I'm like, wait a second. You think that we, I'm like, I'm not, I have nothing to, we have nothing to do with this. That's Steve Albers is, they say they're still looking for a place, and they may be, but he's got other things going on right now. And that was kind of weird to me. I'm like, why would you think that we were part of Center Ice Brewery and anything other than they were sponsoring our show? It's kind of funny. That conversation was a lot longer than you'd expect. That I didn't catch on to that what he was saying. okay, so I think it sucks the Blues blew a 2-goal lead in this game in the third period. They had a 1-0 lead going in the third period, scored early in the second. You know, the pitch is going bananas, and then Minnesota scores again. Lost, I won in a shootout, Blues did, so there's that. But, you know, let's see. Ponder's notes. Minnesota's point streak extended to 7 games at the time. And I agree with you, Jeff. The Blues needed to win this game in regulation. That would have been very nice.
That was a game where, and again, like, that's been the conversation all season, right? Blues score first, they're going to win. And so, but like, okay, this is a serious discussion, and I am trumping it right now with my hands.
He's waving.
This is a very serious discussion, guys. We know they score first, they're going to win. That's like the general consensus across the league. You listen to other announcers, ESPN, TNT, other teams' announcers, and they're like, oh, Blue scored first, that means we're losing. Like, that's just how it is. But like, as Blues fans, do you guys still feel like this is the Blues? They're going to blow it. Like, right?
Well,
like, even though you know they've been good this year with the lead, your mind as a Blues fan is still like, well, how are they going to blow this one?
It maybe depends who they're playing, but yeah, I get what you're going with that. Because the year has been kind of up and down. They've had good stretches. They've had really bad stretches. They've, you know, and the team's inconsistent. So it's like you're except for, I guess, when they score first, right? That they at least they win
typically,
or when they allow the first goal, then they lose. So that's pretty much how it goes, mostly. So that's a very strange, very odd thing. What that is. And I bet you that they couldn't even explain exactly why that is.
Bill, how do you feel? Do you still kind of get that, like, motherfuck, how are they going to blow this one?
No, I think earlier on in the season I did. And, you know, as the season's gone on, I've gotten more comfortable with we score first, we win, we give up the first goal, we lose. And just that was a pretty good pattern to follow.
It does make sense, yeah. Though. But because, in a way, because the offense is not what it needs to be, and we've been getting really good goaltending, and the defense is
I was talking about, like, historically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
like, historically, as a Blues fan, you're just like, how are they going to fucking blow this league?
I only feel that way. I really only feel that way in games against the Red Wings, the Blackhawks, and the Avalanche. Right. Those are the three, and maybe the Kings.
Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really historically, Boston. Who's another one? Kind of Dallas, right? They had that with Hall in like the 1999. And but yeah, it's still like to me, it still hits me, and I'm just like, they got a 2-0 lead, but it's the Blues. How are they going to blow it?
Well, I'll tell you what. When Shen scored in the third period, just 27 seconds in, I thought this game's ours. Obviously, you 2-goal lead in the third period. You think, oh, okay, you know they came out and scored right away in the third. This game's over. And then fucking just over a minute later, or no, less than a minute later, 43 whatever seconds later, Minnesota scores, Rossi scores, and you're like, well, shit, that was too quick. Right now they got almost a whole period still to get one goal, and then I'm worried again. So for about 40 seconds, I was like, yep, we're winning this game. No problem. And then Kaprizov scores with just under 4 minutes to go in the game. And yeah, although Kyrou did score in this game, so that's a plus, power play.
Yeah.
Hard to miss that one.
Yeah.
Right, wide open net, backside.
Insanely great pass from Jake Neighbors.
Oh, beautiful. Oh,
beautiful. Spin behind the back.
Beautiful. Yeah, right across the slot, the crease, top of the crease.
Dude, I had to like, so that was one of those goals where like it scored and I'm just like, what even fucking happened there? And so like I had to wait for the replay to like really understand how good of a pass that was.
Yeah, it was
from
great.
Jake Neighbors. I'm like, whoa, that was behind the back, no look, beautiful.
And it is 4-0 Los Angeles. Every bounce going against Minnesota in this game.
And yeah, the second period just started and they got the fourth. So Kyrou did score in this game, score for the Blues first, and then he scores in the shootout, the eventual shootout winner. So, and it was, and then Binnington stops Goudreau. Was it Binnington?
For the Wild game was Binnington.
That's what I thought. Okay. I was like drawing a blank. And then he stops Goudreau, who ran out of real estate. One too many moves, and he just tried to outweigh Binnington, and it didn't happen. But it was funny, some of the comments on I don't want to turn this into a, you know, Kyrou fans versus, you know, anti-Kyrou people show, but it, you know, Kyrou had a goal in this game, and he had a shootout winner goal, and you know, of course, some people come out and say, wow, yeah, this is, you know, and some people want him traded. I'm like, you know what? You know what? If you don't recognize the fact that Kyrou has struggled this season, you can't cherry pick a productive game for him and pretend like that's the norm. You just can't. I'm rooting hard for Kyrou, and I'm not on the trade Kyrou boat or anything, but I would like to see, you know, him improve over time. So I don't want to see the Blues move on from him quite yet, but I don't think they can. You know, the 7-year contract left, is that's a lot of money for someone to take on. And some people would think they would get a lot of money for him if they trade a lot of players for him in return. I'm like, I don't know. That's a lot of contract for a team to take on. And it's not like part of the deal is moving on from Kyrou. That's what you're doing. You're not really moving him to get a ton in return. I don't think you get a ton. You might get something, but you wouldn't get a ton. because of all the, because of the 7 years they're taking on this, 8 years per. So, anyway, I kind of went down a rabbit hole there, but, so anyway, it was a good game for Kyrou. Would have liked to see us a little more often. And, there's Jeff again. There we go.
I'm back. Hey, what do you like? You like my, purchase from the NHL store, huh?
Whalers
Very
tea.
Nice.
A vintage looking Whalers tea.
Very
distressed.
Nice.
Distressed. Yeah.
It was pricey, but it was
worth $35.
More.
$74.99.
Less.
From the NHL store.com?
Yeah.
Okay. 40?
A little higher.
$42.99. My gosh.
$42.99.
Man, oh man.
That's yeah, $43 for a distressed logo. T-shirt.
What is but going on?
I just thought, I'm like, prices. You know, it's fucking sick looking. It's worth it.
Do you know how much t-shirts cost in our shop? Or half that. What is going on with t-shirt prices?
Wait a minute.
I sound like Jerry Seinfeld. What is the deal with t-shirt prices?
Wait a minute.
I want to know.
You said we have t-shirts? What is that?
We have t-shirts in our letsgoblues.com shop.
Reasonably priced t-shirts from what I hear.
But where do they go? Like, what website do they go to?
Letsgoblues.com. Right there. Yeah, and you didn't know that, huh? Yeah,
they just click t-shirts there.
There's a shop link at the top. You click on that, it takes you right to the store.
Just click shop. That's it.
Yep.
And you just go buy t-shirts.
Yeah. And they're in the 20s. They're not in the 40s. They're in the 20s.
That's incredible.
It is a good deal. And
man,
you know,
how are and, more people not taking advantage of this?
There is also, elections are coming up, right? In November.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Primaries are going on right now.
No.
Elections come up in November. It's been a half an hour. Stuff's kicking in for Jeff, I can tell. but so we got elections coming up, and there's a Federico and Sutter election shirt on the shop. So
does it say 24 on it? Like
it does say 24
number?
Like his number.
What?
That's why it's cool. It says 24 for the year 2024. It's also Federico's number, and it's Federico and Sutter running for office. Anyway.
And you said it's $42.99.
No, it might be almost half that. I don't know. So.
Okay, I'm done.
What's the chat? Chat's going banana. About Kyrou. Kyrou's puck handling. Okay, yeah. And I agree with you, Justin Scott. Kyrou's puck handling is still an issue. And it's what's weird about his puck handling, we talk about this a lot this season, is that he could stick handle around three guys in a phone booth last season. This season, he can't do squat in the open ice. I don't know what's going on.
Remember when he beat Petro on that beautiful goal?
Oh, he smoked him wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on with him. Something's in his head. He's got something going on in his head.
It all went wrong when he went to the All-Star game in Florida.
Yeah, I mean that was the turning point last season. He wasn't the same after that.
No, he has not been the same since.
Two seasons ago, right?
Yeah. Ew.
That was last year was Tarasenko, right?
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, because we all speculated, are they sending Tarasenko to showcase him for a trade?
Yeah. Heavy 44 says Kyrou could easily be harder on the forecheck, more sticks on puck first. You know, wanting Kyrou to be harder on the forecheck would imply that he's good when there's contact, and he's not. When contact is made with Kyrou, he folds, especially on the boards. He can't do stuff on the boards. That's something for him to work on in the offseason, I guess. I don't know. Bulk up, do something. Go to a psychiatrist.
I fully support that idea.
What else we got here? I think Ken Morris says, I think Kyrou has the Mitch Marner syndrome, can't handle pressure. I don't know if there was a lot of pressure on the Blues this season, other than just playing in the NHL. I don't know. He handled the pressure in the NHL fairly well before the All-Star game. Anyway, Blues did win this game. They outshot Minnesota 37-24. Bennington made 22 out of 24, made 22 saves, 24 shots. St. Louis was 1-for-2 on the power play. The power play goal was Kyrou's first of the game, his 21st of the season. Yeah, so that was it was a nice win. It was sucked. Minnesota got a point out of that because they're ahead of us by a point now in the standings. And if that one point comes back to bite the Blues, that'll kind of suck.
Yep, they had to win that in regulation. I mean,
well, it would have been nice. We'll find out.
Yeah. But it's just like, man, you're facing Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They're close in the standings. It's a 2-0 lead.
Yeah. They do play them again.
Had to walk away mm-hmm. with two right. points.
They play them again for the third straight Saturday. Yeah. This in Minnesota this Saturday at 1 p.m. Central Time.
So
probably going to give up some points since we forget to show up to these early Saturday games.
I think, and I guess how Saturday's game turns out will we can revisit the whole 1 point in St. Louis. Like if we win in Minnesota in regulation, okay, then it's not as big of a deal. But if we lose in Minnesota, then we're conceivably down by 3, however the, you know, stuff pans out between now and then. But that 1 point looms large. So, and the Blues did beat up on Anaheim 4-2 on Sunday night. Thomas had 2 power play goals. Buchnevich, Steve Buchnevich.
Bruce Navich.
Steve Buchnevich had 3 assists. And Buch recorded his 7th 3-point game of the season. Only Vladimir Tarasenko bested that with a 9 in 2021-22. That in the past 20 years. So Anaheim was eliminated from a playoff spot with this loss.
So we got that going for us.
Yeah.
We knocked somebody out of the playoffs.
We're not missing the playoffs. We're knocking people out of the playoffs. And the Blues at this point had a 4-game winning streak going. So things were looking pretty good. Slowly gaining ground on Vegas, who was slowly slipping in the standings, which everyone loves to see. Mm. So within 4 points. So it's like, holy shit. I mean, they have a game in hand on us, but still it's like, wow, that's, I mean, Minnesota's between us, right? Between us and Vegas, but still it's like, man, within 4 points, that's, it was like 7 just a little bit ago. So 4 is doable. Yeah, and St. Louis, during the 4-game win streak, they have outscored their opponents 15-6, and the Blues won for just the 8th time when allowing the first goal. So the record with when allowing the first goal is 8-26-2 now. Shots were 28-27 Blues. Hofer made 26 saves, 28 shots. And on the power play, the Blues were 3-for-6, 3 goals on the power play. They switched things up in this game. They brought in Falk. And they sat Krug for the power play, and they also brought up who else? There was 2 changes. Who was that? It was Krug and somebody else. I forgot who they took off the power play.
God damn it,
Hayes.
Was it Hayes? They brought in Hayes. Hayes.
They did not play him on the power play.
Okay. Oh, no, Sundqvist. They sat Sundqvist. Didn't they? They played.
I can't remember.
I'm drawing a blank. I should write that
down. Caramba.
But anyway.
You know better.
Anyway.
I'll add, man, this power play in this game. Thomas, as you said, you know, 2 power play goals. Buchnevich recorded a 7th 3-point game of the season. This is according to NHL.com. Only Vladimir Tarasenko has had more in a season for St. Louis in the past 20 years, and that was 9 in 2021-2022. And hey, isn't there some beauty, even though I know the Blues are not in a playoff spot, the Blues knocked the Ducks out of the playoffs with this win. And that feels kind of good, right? Doesn't it just be like, ha, we beat you, so you don't make the playoffs. That's a good feeling.
I know. I mean, it's got to piss off. I mean, Anaheim knew they were getting knocked out, right?
Right.
There was no, but. It was just, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's never fun, but I'm sure it's a good feeling for a team to knock a team out. Sure.
Oh, my goodness. Fleury. Yeah. Fleury is having a bad. Well, he's no longer having a game. He has been yanked.
He's having a. Well, he's not anymore.
And in comes Manny Fernandez. Welcome back, Manny.
Wow, Manny Fernandez. The 1A, 1B tandem. What was the other one? Yes. Fernandez and
Wayne Rollison.
Rollison, yeah.
Yep.
That's right. Gustafsson. So
Gustafsson.
He's in now.
He's in now.
Philippe Gustafsson.
Right.
So, okay. So Kyrou was sent down to the second power play unit and Shen was brought up. And so FOP.
Thank you, FOP.
I'm not a Dapper Dan man. I'm a Dapper Dan man. I want FOP, goddammit. Is now this name looks familiar. Does it not?
Shen?
No, the user FOP. Is this the same?
Sorry.
Is a different name. Do you have a Twitter account? And have you engaged with Jeff Ponder last week? Was it the same guy?
Oh.
Maybe?
I don't know.
FOP, do you have a...
Could just be...
Maybe it's Fopi.
His brother, Mike FOP.
Mike FOP. Maybe it's... He's the Bushnevich fan, right?
Bruce.
Or no, the Kyrou fan.
Kyrou fan, yeah.
Yeah. The Baked Beaver says, damn, the Wild have shit luck tonight. The Kings are scoring on every bad bounce. Yeah. And you hate to see it, right?
No.
Anaheim was 0-2 on the power play in this game against the Blues. As the Blues won 4-2. And then we come to the Blues and Avs last night. 4-3, Avs take this game in regulation. Binnington was in net. First goal of this game pissed me off. It was Justin Faulk who, and I don't know if you guys saw this or realized it, or if you disagree with me, feel free to say so, because we can have a little discussion about it. But along the near boards, he doesn't cut off McKinnon. He goes to check McKinnon. It's mm-hmm. like a half-hearted check. He doesn't lay into him and pinch him off the puck like he should have. He kind of just bounced off of him, and McKinnon just powers through and keeps going. McKinnon wants to play. McKinnon wanted this rush more than Faulk wanted to stop him. So, and then McKinnon keeps going into the blue zone. Passes to Rantanen in the high slot, top of the zone in the middle. Between the hash marks, right? And then Faulk does get back, and before Rantanen takes this shot, Faulk has a chance to poke check from behind. He's right there, and he just doesn't. he's coasting to the play, and I don't think he thought Rantanen was going to shoot as quick as he did, but it looked like he was going to poke check, but he was just slow on it. He was like lazy on it. And Rantanen, of course, scores. And I'm like, what the fuck, Faulk? What are you doing? He was coast. He took the shift off. It was like a half ass and a shift. And shot looked to surprise Binnington. It was against the grain. Great shot, but yeah, I mean stuck by him.
Perfect placement.
Yeah, and I thought Binnington probably should have had it if I snuck up on him. It's not a goal that should go in, but the shot shouldn't even been taken from two different times. Faulk could have shut this play down two different times, and he didn't, and it just pissed me off. Because I'm like, you know what? There are some guys and on this team that want to win and some guys that don't. And I think it was discussed, rumored that maybe we did last week or said it online, that Faulk is one of those guys going through the motions this season. And this is a good shift, a good example of that playing out on this shift.
No, it totally was pissed off at him on that play. He completely should have shut McKinnon down on the boards. Just get heavier on the body, right? And this is like he wasn't interested in trying. Binnington, you know, your comment should have saved it. I did not like Binnington's game in this one.
Overall, I thought he wasn't ready for that. And for Colorado, what he's been really good at against Colorado is being ready for anything. And last night, I just didn't think he was. His defense, his forwards didn't do him a damn favor in this game.
Especially on that play. And then there was another play. I'm not sure if you can nitpick on Falk, but a second goal was scored where Falk couldn't get the poke check out in time. But that was a tough play. The second one we'll talk about.
Oh my goodness.
Another goal?
That looked like when I cut your brother open for stitches.
Oh, was it? Did you get in the head?
Yeah.
The shot?
On a knuckle puck from the point where he leads over to try to get out of the way and it still finds him.
Oh God. Yeah. Got him like on the ear or back of the head maybe.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. That was, you busted his chin wide open like 30 seconds into this pickup.
Right. I still owe people money for that night.
Oh, there was a lot going on that night.
Yeah.
A couple minutes later, Blues tied up Walker off the bench. Nobody for the Avs picks up Walker as he came off the bench and was able to walk right into the faceoff dot after receiving a pass from Prunovich, picked the corner. I'll say this, and I think, where was it? Justin Scott. There he is. Justin Scott said, stop making Falk wash tears from his mustache. He apologized to you with an assist. He actually had two assists, but,
He looked good on the offensive side of the puck on the power play. Interesting choice to put him out there, but it was effective.
Yeah. It was a secondary assist, on this one where he dumped it into the corner. It was a nice little pass, to Prunovich, but Prunovich kind of made this play. He brings the puck back up to the top of the zone and, then finds Walker as he's coming off the bench and Walker walks in. And lets a shot go from about the faceoff dot and scores upper near post, I believe it was. So
yes,
good shot. You beat upper near from the faceoff dot. Is it a softy? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, that's the one thing that Colorado did not do is upgrade their backup goaltending situation. So it'd be a total shame if something were to happen to that Varlamov you got there.
It's a nice Varlamov you got there. It'd be a shame if something happened to it.
Exactly.
I like it. Okay, where are we at? I'm gonna pull up the box score here so I can have it while we talk. Torpchenko gives the Blues a 2-1 lead in the second period. Kind of a jam play of the net. Falk gets it on net from the point. He was much more involved in this goal, I would say, than the first one. But gets it on net from the point. Good job with doing that. Torpchenko and Sundqvist are both on the doorstep, swiping at the rebound. Torpchenko backhands it on net. The rebound comes out, hits him, and goes in. The Avs seem to consider reviewing this for goalie interference, but the puck was, the puck was already by the goaltender when contact was made.
Right.
So
it's a momentum play. Right. And contact with the defenseman and momentum going into the goalie. But by him.
It's by him already. But when the contact's made, the puck is by him. So the contact does not prevent him from making the save. He wasn't making the save anyway. Torpchenko did go into the crease and did hit, didn't make contact. So they were thinking about it. And, I thought it was a good no challenge because with how goaltending interference is called nowadays, you never know. And with the fact that had no bearing on the goal. It didn't matter.
Right.
So,
and you make that challenge, you lose it, and you're shorthanded again.
Right. I thought there are people online saying that, Colorado should have challenged. I'm like, I disagree. I don't think so.
As a Blues fan, I thought they should have challenged.
Oh, I was welcome it, but I was also scared because of goal interference. You never know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
When I saw the replay, I was pretty sure they weren't going to in the end. And they did not. So, and then Middlestat for Colorado ties it up for the Avs in the second period, just a couple minutes after Torchenko scored. Nice response goal from Colorado. Thomas lost the own zone faceoff, and then he peels off Middlestat to go up to the puck carrier Girard, who's headed to the corner. Girard then passes to Middlestat, who Thomas was on, and then left. Who fired a shot by Bennington from the he's in a soft area in the slot. Falk was kind of in between Mittelstadt and the goal, couldn't get a stick on it in time, and no one picked up Mittelstadt after Thomas peeled off of him to cover Girard. I'm not blaming anyone in this play. I thought this was a really nice play by Colorado. I'm just kind of trying to explain what happened. It was a tough, really quick play to defend. And I thought Colorado executed this play very well. It's tough, especially when it develops quickly. You know, if someone's sitting in the soft spot for 3 or 4 seconds, okay. You know, the defense is going to cover that, but it happened bang, bang. You know, I'm just tipping my cap on this to Colorado. I don't really have a lot of complaints with the Blues positioning on this one, but,
yeah, it's, you know, Mittelstadt got off a great shot, you know, and it's, I want to work in a joke here about, you know, small town, Illinois goal. Mittelstadt. Yeah, should have had a Milpon Brewing beer.
I was gonna say, tonight. Yeah, that'd have been nice. And then Shen gives the Blues lead again. So this game's going back and forth. The Blues were, you know, like I said earlier, trading punches with the Colorado. I thought, generally speaking, Colorado looked better than the Blues did at times in this game. And they're a better team. But the Blues hung with them, and they had the lead for a good chunk of this game. So it's like, you know, I thought the Blues played well, considering. So Colorado wins the offensive zone faceoff, and Neighbors gets up in Ratnan's face at the point and forced a turnover up high, and Neighbors and Shen break out 2-on-1. Had Neighbors not, if you go back and watch replay, if Neighbors hadn't have forced that turnover, gotten a stick-on-stick on that Ratnan's trying to pass to, I don't know who it was, defenseman breaking on the left side, had a wide open lane to come in tight, probably skate down below the faceoff dot, almost to the hash marks, probably, and take a shot. So Neighbors did good to interfere with that play and then go the other way 2-on-1. And great pass. You know what? Neighbors, great hockey sense goal, right? Passing at the right time, not trying to overpass, going back and forth 2 or 3 times in the pass. You know, he comes down, makes a simple pass, and then Shen just nothing fancy, kind of a little shovel one-timer, right, that goes off of the knob, the stick, the shaft of the goalie stick, and in. So nice execution and nice disruption of the abs of the point, my Neighbors. He created that play.
Yeah, and Neighbors had a similar thing previous game against the Wild where he set up Sod, great hockey sense again. 2-on-1, where there was a good, you know, he made a good play to get the turnover. Saad got robbed by Fleury on that play. So Fleury expended all of his saves in that game and had none left for tonight. So
I am going to, for this next goal, I think it's the next goal. Yeah. I'm going to share my screen here so we can, take a look at this. Okay. Can I make that bigger? Oh, shit. Let's make that bigger. That's as big as it gets. Okay. So Rantanen scores again 10 minutes later on the power play with less than 2 minutes to go in the second period to tie the score 3-3. Kyrou was catching a lot of crap in this game, I mean, on this goal. Let me take that overlay off the screen. There we go. For taking this penalty that leads to this goal on the power play for Colorado. It looked like it kind of went for an awkward hip check, like the guys on the broadcast were saying, and kind of missed it and then ended up tripping the Az player.
It's first glance I didn't like it, but on the replay, yeah, he took a skate out. So
yeah, I agree.
It was a penalty.
Yeah, it was a good penalty, and I was like, you know, I don't know. I'm nitpicking against Kyrou. If you're gonna hit a guy, you know. But he kind of just kind of went in and kind of missed him and whatever. It didn't look good.
Yeah. Well, opposite side of the spectrum, Kyrou tried to hit a guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So on the power play, I don't. So this shot comes from the little shot pass to a guy in a soft spot in the defense. And who scored this goal? Was it Rantanen?
Rant.
Of course, yeah, squirrel stole the goals.
Right.
Of course, I could just, yes, Rant would be him, right?
You had a 75% chance of getting it right.
And this is Duran who passed this. And, you know, I don't think I got it shared on screen here. The Blues have Rantanen, like, the guys on all sides of him. But Duran makes this nice pass right on his tape. And I'm looking, I'm like, is it nitpicky to want Letty to block this pass and get a stick in lane? Because he's tightening up because he's thinking Duran's going to shoot it, and he's shooting it. But it's actually a pass to Rantanen in the slot, who then redirects it by Bennington. And again, Colorado pulled off two goals in this game on plays that I've said before on the show. I absolutely love those plays. The bumper pass and then this.
Fantastic. The Colorado iteration of the Sedin high slot tip.
Yeah.
Right.
It's hard to defend.
Yeah, it is. And so Letty, you know, I wanted to blame him, but, you know, like you said, he's coming back in, you know, bringing his stick back in to attempt to block the shot. And he's also trying to take out the guy at the right post, right? Try to eliminate the pass from there.
Yeah.
So
it's really a really well set up play by Colorado, because they have options here, and the Blues, I think, have it covered pretty well, but Colorado just executed this perfectly. It was a perfect pass.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really yell at Buchnevich for not getting over, because there's a guy at the point who Duran had just kind of faked to, like he was going to pass to. So Buchnevich had to respect that.
Right.
And you look at Letty. He's not in a bad position. He's got to cover the slot and that pass down low, like you said. And I think who's in front? Is it?
It's Parayko.
Parayko. Right. And Parayko's in a good spot. He can't come too far out to the slot because it's all alone in front of the net, whoever that is. And it's like,
McKinnon's over in the corner. So
okay, yeah,
if Duran goes to
McKinnon, Thomas over there, right?
He's got a peel. Right. He's got a peel. I don't know. I think that Parayko could have been tighter to Rantanen.
I think if Parayko is tighter to Rantanen, the pass goes to the post, the ab of the post, and he's got
McKinnon far side.
He's got McKinnon far side with a backhand pass. And you know, McKinnon's going to crash the net, or he goes bumper to Rantanen. When Parayko covers, they have so many options on this play,
and that's the brilliance of it, right? They force the Blues, you know, to give just a slight gap, and you know, for as much maligned as Joanne's been over his career, that's a hell of a pass, pinpoint accuracy with steam on it,
and then Rantanen does a great job putting it redirecting it, you know, far post up enough, you know, where it's going to go in. And it's like, that was just every time we review these plays and kind of break it down and whatnot, and you're like, okay, how's this gonna, why is it? There we go. You want to be on bottom.
I'm a power bottom, baby. Yeah,
switch him back to off shared screen, and all of a sudden Ponder's back with us.
Right. If you put him up top, he'll likely just float straight out. He's yeah. a little high right now.
He's a little baked. So yeah, and so breaking down these plays, you're like, you're like, okay, who messed up? What could we have done better on this play to prevent this? And I'm looking, I'm like, there's not a whole, I mean, I guess you can always prevent a goal somehow by an excellent play, but man, you're asking a lot to have prevented this play, because this was just well done by Colorado, which I hate to say because I fucking hate Colorado. Fuck them. And then so that ties the game late in the third, which sucks. And then Rantanen gives the Colorado the lead. In the third period, with the hat trick goal, just 4:15 into the third,
you want a goal where you can blame somebody.
Oh yeah,
this is the goal where you blame somebody.
Everybody. I mean, you know when Luke Korak is roasting you online for a mistake that you made, you know you fucked up, because I mean he covers, you know, the beat writer, right, for NHL.com and Sporting and Hockey News, so he's, you know. But he let him have it online. He's like, that is ridiculous. Not sure where he was going. Horrible pass on the exit by Buchnevich. Far boards. Right. Yeah. He's got Saad near the blue line on his side up the boards a little bit with the Colorado defense backing off. They've exited the zone. They're giving you the zone exit. Right. But he decides to go cross ice into traffic, trying to thread a needle to Parayko, who's skating up the right wing near boards. I think when I slowed it down and looked at it, it looks like the pass right when he passes it gets deflected by the Avalanche player covering him. So it wasn't like a straight pass that was bad. It was deflected, but still, that's a pass you can't try and make. And Jeff is gone again. He's in and out.
Yeah, he did. He floated out of that room.
I told him 60 milligrams is too much.
Oh, way too much. Way too much.
But
it's nothing.
Oh,
LA.
You know what? I don't want to happen.
LA.
What I don't want to happen is.
And he's back.
What I don't want to happen is what happened.
Listen,
in Nashville when they got smoked.
Right.
I had to go get water. That's all I was doing. I'm in a hotel room. I'm very limited as to what I can drink and eat and consume. So I had to go get water. Sorry.
I thought there was going to be more to that story.
That's it.
All right.
And I think it's okay.
Okay. So, yeah, the pass to Muzhnevich was tipped right when he passes it. But still, that pass needs to go Saad up the boards, right? Not Parayko. I don't know why. Why try and force that pass? Just take what Colorado gives. They're giving you a zone exit up to Saad. No. Now, if it was a good pass, hadn't been tipped when he went to pass it. I mean, he hits a streaking Parayko up the right side. And they say, "Wow, you know, I can see other comments now. Wow, risky pass, but it worked." You know, but it didn't. And that's why kids in your own zone, don't pass across the middle, right? You pass up the zone, especially when you got a guy there. I don't know what to say about this other than it was just a brain fart. Bad play. Cost them the game.
Yeah, absolutely stupid. Worst timing could come up. It's like, pressure? Did the pressure get to him or what? Just it was a mindless play.
And the big beaver, 60 milligrams is nothing.
He's right.
Okay. So, okay, this was a game the Blues could have won. Colorado, I thought, was the better team at chunks in this game because they are the better team. They looked like it at part, but the Blues played really well too, right? I don't think the Blues were outplayed in this game. You know, at times they were, but the Blues played really well. And when I say you can't say the Blues were outplayed, you know, that's like, oh wow, the Blues were outplayed in this game. Like it wasn't like that. One bad stat for the Blues was own zone turnovers. They had a lot. It was what, 17 or own zone turnovers, or
at the point that Jamie Rivers brought it up, and there was still 8 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, it was a lot. Own zone.
Yeah.
So that was bad.
I did see that stat thrown out a lot today. So I think that's an actual stat.
Well, I mean, and it's funny because on the Blues website and NHL.com, turnovers for the game or giveaways. Was 13. So explain to me the difference between own zone turnover and giveaways. So how can the giveaways for the entire game be 13, but own zone turnovers is 17? Explain that to me.
It's like Bill trying to teach me math. It's just not going to work.
And you would be stupid after trying to learn math from me. There's a reason why I got a social science degree in economics and not a math based degree in economics.
English degree, baby. Least amount of math possible. I'm telling you, I partied harder when I got out of my last math class than when I actually graduated college.
I think being on 60 milligrams of edibles is not the best time to brag about your English degree.
Good point.
So the Wild just scored after the buzzer.
Oh
man.
I did. I just saw that. I like how I'm behind by about 5 seconds. I can look up and see.
So my app is completely glitching and it's like looping the play every 30 seconds. It's just bizarre.
Oh, post. They hit the post and they score. Oh, it's funny. Yeah, Ken Morris says last night's game was a pressure game for sure. Yeah, it was a big game. It would have been so nice to, man, at least get a point in this game and then and go into a couple of games that you should win. Or, well, hopefully win.
So I'll admit, I was watching, like, the updates on my phone. I couldn't actually watch the game, as I think you've said. But, like, I'm getting the updates on my phone. I'm like, oh, they're tied. It's third period. Oh, my God. And then I saw, well, my friend texted me, Hotard12, actually, listener to the show. He texted me and he was just like, Blues blow it again. And I'm like, God damn it. That means they lost. Very upsetting.
Did you record the game? Were you going to watch it later?
I'm going to watch it when I get home. Yeah.
Oh, so, okay. All right.
Friday.
So you weren't trying to not hear the score.
No, because I knew I was going to get a text at the end of the game. Yeah. So I'm like, either they win and everyone's excited and I get a text, or either they lose and it's because they blow it. So I'm like, I'm going to know at the end of the day.
Yeah. So yeah, this game, shots on goal, Colorado had 35, Blues had 33 shots. It's pretty good for this team. And 35 shots against.
I think 33 shots is how many shots they've had all season, right?
Right. No, I thought that they brought the right game plan last night.
I did too.
The execution fell short. Again, didn't like Bennington's game. He wasn't a game. He did what he could, but he wasn't a game changer like he has been against Colorado.
Yeah, he didn't stand on his head this game. And faceoff percentage, Blues had the edge there, 52.5 to 47.5. Power play, the Avs were 1-for-3, Blues were 0-for-3. So this was a game that would have been nice for the Blues power play to chip in. Big games against good teams and power play, it's huge. Blues out hit the Avs 28-16. Block shots were 14-13. Blues giveaways. I'm talking about giveaways. 13 for the Blues, 9 for the Avs. But they have 17 own zone turnovers.
Again, Bill, can you teach me math?
So, that's a rough one. And with Minnesota losing right now, and I can pretty safely say they're gonna lose this game. they will, the Blues, let's see, will remain 1 point behind Minnesota after tonight. So, Minnesota will have played one more game though. So,
right.
And that's big.
Right. And if we go to Ottawa and shit the bed tomorrow,
ooh, that's a thing too, is that that Ottawa game becomes a must win.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't, 13 games left. You can't be losing games against Ottawa when you need to gain 4 points on the wildcard team, Vegas. So, and pass.
You just have to hope, Bill, that Christer Olsen does not put the skates on and skate against the Blues.
Yeah, no, I think his squad's got a game tomorrow night. He's coaching in Allsvenska.
Are we doing save of the week? Do you have video or no?
If we're honest, mm-hmm. there wasn't a spectacular save by a Blues goalie this week.
Okay.
But
Bill, can I interrupt and just say this? What a save by you for us not having a video to show people. You just made save of the week.
Nice. I like what you did there.
What you did.
And that is comment of the show.
Yeah. So hold on. Hold on here. it's not the full setup, but I am going to give, save of the week right here. If you can take me full screen.
Yeah. I got him.
All right, here we go. Save of the week goes to Colton Ellis. Look at that beauty.
Wait.
You got
the wrong thing up there.
Damn it. Hang on. All right.
Oh, you're doing this. No, what are you doing? You shouldn't be running anything right now.
Right. Okay. Are you ready? Here we go.
Yes. Okay. There we go.
Save of the week goes to Blues prospect Colton Ellis.
Oh.
Beauty. Wow.
Is that a backdoor pass? You got a blocker on that? What? I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
That's up high.
That was very much like what Minnesota tried to do. Or actually, that's very much like what Troy Terry did at the end of the Anaheim game against Joel Hofer.
There we go.
All right. So
it's so weird that's what it defaults to.
I know.
It defaults to like one of us big and the other two small.
Yeah. Just how about go back to the way it was before?
Podcasters are probably listening to this like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, this is a live stream on YouTube that we then put together as a podcast later. So there's shit that people are looking at that we're talking about. So
yeah, yep,
yeah. That's the gist of it.
Yeah. So there's your save of the week. Me saving the save of the week segment with that.
There it is, baby.
Twitter edition.
Yeah. And to
good job, Bill.
To maintain our 7 to 8 minute delay, to be consistent with that.
11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
I told you last night. No.
All right. okay. So I briefly want to talk about Bull Duke a bit because he's been talked about a lot on this show. And I've caught a lot of crap for saying some things about he's not going to play very many games for us. The more I see him, the more I'm worried about that statement that I made. So, he's got, offensive production wise, you know, he's just 3 points in 14 games played, he has 18 shots. But point production aside, man, that kid looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It's been fun to watch, getting his feet wet in the NHL and getting a game in and game out look of him, with his strengths and weaknesses. Not getting a ton of ice time, obviously, 10:53 per game. But I've liked him. He likes to shoot. He's got a great shot.
He's got a great first stride coming out of the zone. Like his neutral zone play and gaining the offensive zone. Like I've been super impressed with that. Just he's got, like I said, great first stride. Just really good instincts moving the puck up the ice. And yeah, it's so many things you know in his limited amount of time that you're just impressed by. And
yeah, for me, I noticed the positioning that he gets into for shooting positions. It's not just him like carrying the puck in and shooting, or you know, somehow Robert Thomas finds him in traffic. Like he's putting himself in a position to score goals, and it's just, you can see how within a year this kid's going to be really amazing to watch.
It's one of the things that I've noticed that he doesn't appear to be ready for is that he kind of gets destroyed on the boards. He gets bodied off the puck on the boards. He gets knocked down on the boards, gets bumped off the puck pretty easy. So he's got to figure that out as far as whether that's going to be part of his game or whether he's going to just stay away from the boards. For his NHL career. But Hull look at Brett Hull. He wasn't a guy that was great on the boards. He floated around and found the soft areas on the ice. That's what he was good at.
Curtis comparing Bull Duke to Brett Hull.
No, that's not what I said. I said even Brett Hull was poor on the boards. So you don't have to be good on the boards to have a successful NHL career. Just as long as the game, the team knows what you're doing. Like I'm not going on the boards too much. I'm going to float around. You find me, you know, I'll be the sniper on this line.
And Jordan Kyrou's like, hey, why does anybody give me this kind of grace?
You know what? If you find the open areas and, you get open, and you put away the passes that you get, you don't fumble the pass when you get it.
No, I would prefer if he just skated up the boards and lost the puck. That's, That's what he does, and I think he does it really well.
Yeah, you know what? If you're gonna play, if you're gonna do what you do well, that's what he does well. Yep. No, but yeah, so whatever I said, 34, 36 games for the Blues, whatever it is. So he's got, what did I say? He's got 14. So the countdown is on. So when this season ends, if he plays the rest of the games, he'll have 27. So we'll have to wait until next season to see if what happens with that prediction.
Hey, we wondered if at the end of the season, Craig Berube would have the most wins by a Blues coach. And I think we got the answer. It's no.
So, hey, I'll throw this out there. What would you guys – so let's say this offseason comes around and the Blues announce – I want your reaction for this. The Blues announce they have rehired Craig Berube in the offseason. Mm.
No. No, they can't do that.
I'm not saying – No. I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying what if they do? What would your reaction be?
The voice is gone. Clearly, like they had to make the fire. You can't go back on it.
I'm not saying I want them to either. I'm just somebody brought it up. Somebody mentioned it.
I know. I'm not saying you're saying that.
Someone brought it up as a joke. I'm like, oh, that'd be funny. No. I mean, how would people?
Well, react I mean, yeah, it would be hilarious. It would be hilarious.
You talk about emergency show right now. We have to do one, right?
Right.
All right, Bill. What do you think?
No. It's. Ken Hitchcock will be back coaching this team before Craig Berube.
Oh, but you know, coaches return to teams. It's not that uncommon for a coach to come back and coach team again. It's happened a number of times, but look, probably not right away. But.
Yeah, no, I do not. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing them give Bannister a full year. To see what he could do. Not a long-term contract after this year, but give him a full year. You come in with your game plan from the start and let's see what you can do. And if it doesn't work out, you know, can.
That is that, you know what? And if someone were to ask me, do you want Bannister to be given like a 2-year contract? And I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, give me a list of guys that you think that the Blues are looking at along with Bannister. I mean, certain aspects of this team have gotten better, but other aspects, like certain players especially, just have gotten, they haven't. I mean, the power play is much better, but I mean, otherwise, I don't, not a whole lot. But I don't know. I honestly don't know. I sit and think about that for a while, whether or not I would want Bannister to be hired on for another year or two. I don't know.
Yeah, I like I said, I would give him 1 year and see what he can do. I like the fact that he has put Bull Duke in a position to succeed rather than the Berube Hitchcock mentality of, oh, got to earn your keep on the fourth line before I do anything else with you. And you know, he's trusted his guys from the A. Next year, you expect Zach Dean to get a shot, which you know I thought it was crazy. The Blues did a whole thing, you know, giving him some video love that he hasn't seen a fucking second.
Yeah, well, they won 4 in a row, and they kind of made it. You know, if they had,
right,
they you don't make changes, close. Right? They kind of got close, right? So it's like,
yeah, you don't make changes while things are going well.
Yeah, now I mean, if they beat Ottawa, if they beat Minnesota, then they could be right there on the edge again. So it's like, yeah, you don't want to. I don't know. We'll see. But and oh, come on, heavy 44. No shit. I know that. Kyrou is not Brett Hull. Yeah. I'm aware. I wasn't saying that. People, come on.
I thought you were gonna comment on his most recent comment.
Oh. I'm behind on the comments. We have to trade Kyrou. I'm sorry, but he's too small for Blues hockey. Oh, yeah, he said we have to trade Kyrou. I'm sorry, but he's too small for Blues hockey. I know what you're saying as far as Blues hockey, but it's like, is Blues hockey Blues hockey anymore? Because we don't play a big heavy game anymore. We haven't in a while. So
Berube wanted it, but we could never put it together after 19.
Yeah, we lost some big bodies, and we lost that even players that play that way.
Right, the smaller guys that play that way, you know, the Barbashevs and
yeah,
Havanovs.
We and Sundqvist left for a little bit. You know, he hit some people. Blay left and came back. You know, and a little segue into Blay. Blay, you know, still leads the team in hits, even though he hasn't played in a week and week and a half. So, and he's a guy that can play heavy. But this team doesn't look like a heavy team anymore. They're not that tough heavy team to play against that they had a reputation of being as for a while. Which, you know, and they've got skill guys and the guys that may make this roster out of camp, the kids, they're not big heavy guys. They're skilled guys. They're smaller skilled guys. So they're not trending toward being a big heavy team anytime soon. So I don't think Blues hockey in quotes is that definition is going to change if it hasn't already.
No, I think it totally has. Kevin Hayes, big heavy guy that doesn't play heavy.
Not really. No,
along
the boards, he's tough to get the puck from. But
he is impossible to get the puck from. When he gets his positioning on players, he's amazing. But he's not going in there and knocking people around.
Yeah.
Right. And that was what you thought Sammy Blais was going to bring back to this team, and hasn't really delivered. Toropchenko's like the one guy.
The one guy that
you could say, go get him on the forecheck and he'll do it.
I want to clean him up and raise him as my own.
I don't think he's clean.
Mystery Alaska.
Thank you, Bill.
Oh, nice.
This guy gets it. Right here. He gets it.
Speaking of Sammy Blais, hasn't played since March 9th versus the Rangers. He only has 1 point in his last 25 games. Shades of his Rangers play. And was only getting 8 minutes of ice time. I guess with Blais not playing now, I think the writing's on the wall that he's gone next season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I was like, yeah, I'll take him back at, you know, the league minimum and put him on the fourth line or have him as an extra or whatever. But I don't even know if he's going to be that way now. I think he's probably going to go somewhere else.
Nope.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah. I, you know, he'll probably catch on with, you know, with an Ottawa and an Anaheim team that's looking to fill out NHL players.
He'll put up 14 goals. And
maybe if Hartford comes back, they'll want him. Huh? Go Whale.
Didn't they submit didn't they show interest, Hartford?
They have. Yes, they have.
And Atlanta with Anson Carter fronting the group.
Yeah.
Fucking A. Atlanta, dude, give them a real team. They got to give them a real team.
You want to. Nobody cares about Atlanta having a hockey team.
Yeah. I care about Atlanta.
But the craziest thing, the closest team to relocating, you know, obviously Gary.
Did you just say relocating?
Relocating.
With, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You heard that too.
I did.
So the
closest team
relocating
would be the Winnipeg Jets. They are having the same problems that caused them to leave Winnipeg in the first time.
What's crazy? They're a really good team.
Right.
And it just.
Right. And
it'd be like
their
Quebec.
Their economy doesn't support, you know, doesn't pay people enough to, you know, be able to put that in every year.
It's like Quebec moving to Colorado.
Yeah.
A good team. And they got wild after went to Colorado. And that was it. That was the last piece. Boy, I just got to piss off Nordiques fans.
For sure.
Man, oh, man. All those years of the struggle. And then the first year they're gone, they win the cup in Colorado. Yikes. Okay, so remaining schedule and strength of schedule for the Blues. The Blues have the 31st hardest, or the second easiest, remaining schedule in the NHL. They have one game, the tough teams they have remaining, one against Carolina, one against Dallas, Edmonton, Nashville, and Vegas, one apiece. And the Blues play Vegas on Monday. You talk about that's who you want to play right now. You gain 2 points on them. It's a four-point game, right? That I mean, you don't have to rely on help. You don't have to all that crap. You don't have to rely on somebody else beating Vegas. You've got them on Monday. And if you beat them in regulation on Monday, that is huge. Huge. And Vegas has the 19th hardest or the 14th easiest remaining schedule. So that's they're more middle of the pack. They have one game versus Winnipeg, two versus Vancouver, one versus Colorado, one versus Edmonton, and one versus Nashville. Funny how Nashville has gotten on that list of tough teams to play.
Right.
Because, you know, well, a few weeks ago, they wouldn't have been there. They have 15 now? 15 unbeaten? Jeez.
Yeah.
Are they playing tonight?
Since, no.
No,
they're not. Tomorrow.
They played last night.
They had a thing on here, you know, the that they're 13-0-2 since they would not allow the players to go to the Sphere.
Yeah.
In Vegas.
Right. Right. And the first game of that their streak was against us, which still that's and I said before that game, I was like, this is the biggest game of the season for the Blues. Turns out it was the biggest game of the season for the Predators because that win just took off. Haven't lost since.
Jeff's getting the real New York experience there.
Sirens.
Oh, you can hear it?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all the time. It is all the time.
I think the problem is that Minnesota has a pretty easy schedule too, so that's a problem. So that makes the game against Minnesota on Saturday that much more important. They have the seventh easiest schedule, and two are against Vegas. So that kind of hurts because the two teams the Blues are chasing, they play each other twice. So someone's getting 2 points. So I guess depending on the standings, the time when they play, you root for a split. I don't know. And no 3-point games. And there goes Jeff again.
Yeah, he's gone for the night.
He's gone for the night? Oh, he didn't say bye. He just left.
He said goodbye in the chat.
I know, but he didn't. Knowing Jeff, right, he would announce his departure like a flight leaving.
Yeah. Well, 60 milligrams too much.
Yeah. That's it's like the Christmas story line. Well, it's just one too many. 60 milligrams. That was too much. I could see it in his eyes.
Way, way, way too much.
Like that's yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. What's the Wilds play tonight? Well, Wild lose tonight.
Yeah.
Then they're off until we play Saturday at 1 o'clock. So
yeah, and we'll make up that game against Ottawa. That we haven't handled them. So if we win against Ottawa, we will jump ahead of them in the standings by 1 point with the same amount of games played. We'll play them on Saturday. So a win in regulation against Minnesota on Saturday. We're up by 3 on Minnesota. That's big.
Yep.
And then you play Vegas, and you might be right behind, right on the heels of Vegas at that time. So you play Vegas on Monday. Man, it's going to be entertaining next few games.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, it sucks being on the outside looking in, but we play the right way. Things go our way in, you know, a couple other games and we're right there.
Yeah.
Very, you know, there's intrigue, right? That we're not out of it just yet. Although Money Puck, the playoff percentages,
it was like 4.5 last time I looked.
It's 4.4%.
Okay. So, I mean, and you know, that's, you got to jump over a team. We have an easy schedule. Minnesota has an easy schedule. So that's, and they play Vegas twice. So that's all factored in, I think.
Yeah. So going into tonight's play, Money Puck had Minnesota at 22.8% to make us at 4.4%.
And what's funny,
Vegas is still at 79% to make
those. That's crazy. Those stats for us in Minnesota could flip flop after the next two games.
Yeah,
easily. We'd be up on them by 3 points.
Right.
Possibly.
Right. The teams between us and Minnesota are all Eastern Conference, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Should be fun. I mean, at least, you know, they mean something, you know.
Right.
So whether they, you know, whatever the deal is, that they're the games mean something and they're important. So it's like, you know, it's just 13 games to go and these are like most games from here on out are must wins. So
yeah, it's, yeah, intriguing hockey to watch. And you know, I'll tell you, if the Blues miss the playoffs, I'll be disappointed. But then this, I have a big silver lining in that I will be able to cancel Spectrum because I'm not going to watch any Cardinals games, so I don't need the RSNs.
They're favored to win the division.
Yeah, I don't care. I just can't care about baseball anymore. It's too long of a season. Wake me up in September.
I'm a big baseball fan, but I'm a big put it on the background and just kind of just casually watch. I used to, as a kid, sit down and just watch intently every pitch. I ain't got time for that anymore. And that's exhausting. So
yeah, no, I've said it before. I'm pretty sure I've said it before on the show. My fandom of baseball really died when Pujols left. He was the reason why I kept watching. And once he left, I just couldn't care less.
Heavy 44 says we can't play right. We should have traded. Nobody wanted to trade. Nobody wanted our stuff wanted the players. I mean, that was the thing, right? I mean, the players were available, but teams didn't want the Scandellas. And so, I mean.
Right. We talked about it a little bit, you know, in the show after the deadline. You know, it either Armstrong didn't have any offers at all, or his valuation was higher than other people's valuations.
Yeah. But he did hint. He gave the impression that there wasn't much or any interest in players that he was willing to trade, which you have to think would be Scandella. He was a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But, Justin Scott said he has a question for, let's see. How do you feel about my thoughts on Kyrou getting replaced by Neighbors on the first line? I'm down on, I mean, like a lot of people, I'm down on Kyrou big time right now. He doesn't have it at all. He can't do half the things that Neighbors can do. And it's just Neighbors looks like a hockey player. Kyrou does not.
No.
And that's an overgeneralization, but that's kind of, I think it nails it for me.
The biggest difference between Neighbors and Kyrou is the mental game. Neighbors has it and Kyrou doesn't. Kyrou just he has not been able to put a cerebral game together whatsoever. Neighbors uses his hockey sense very well. And just, he gets it, and it just doesn't seem like Kyrou does.
No, I agree completely. And Neighbors he's just more hard nosed. He makes hockey plays and he's always in the middle of stuff. And he converts, you know, I have very few complaints this season about Neighbors. They have about the same amount of goals. How many goals Neighbor have? He has, where's my thing here? Neighbors has 22 goals. He got one more goal than Kyrou does. And Kyrou's got 50 points. And is that right? Kyrou has, why is that sorted by points? There we go. Kyrou has 50 points and Neighbors has 32, and they played the same amount of games. So, yeah, Kyrou's got a lot more points. But, man, I'll tell you what, Neighbors is the better player right now.
At this point in the season, I want him on that line with Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. He just makes better plays. I find myself less frustrated with Neighbors on a night-to-night basis. I'm not frustrated with him at all. Mm-hmm. Kyrou, it's almost a shift by shift thing. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yep.
So
yeah.
And then Ken Morris said Chris Simon died. I heard he took his own life. Yeah, we talked about that start of the show. That was what they said. They said that it was suicide, and the family thinks it's a CTE related. So sad news. Let's see what else we got. What other comments? I thought there was something else we could look at here. Justin, there it is. Justin Scott says, if you can win the next three, I love our chances. Obviously it's going to be, you know, on a game by game basis, I think, from here on out. But yeah, if you can beat Ottawa, and then Minnesota, and then Vegas, Whew. Those are, that's, I mean, Ottawa, you should beat Ottawa. You should. But then Minnesota and Vegas, those are two teams that you have to beat. You're right behind them. You got to beat them. No 3-point yeah. games either.
Yep. No, you cannot get 1 point against Ottawa. You have to get both. Right. Yep. Absolutely no excuse for giving up anything to that team. And I don't have confidence going into it that we won't.
It bothers me that Minnesota's getting blown out in this game because they're going to, I mean, you know how the saying goes, you know, they get blown out, they're going to play pissed off on Saturday.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah. And, you know, if there's one bounce back goalie in the league, you know, Fleury took it on the chin, gave up five of these. I wouldn't want to face him motivated on Saturday.
Yeah.
But I think that's who we're going to get.
Whatever, man. It is what it is. It's play. It's a you know crunch time down the stretch. Teams, games aren't supposed to be easy.
Nope.
So I mean, you gotta come to play. And if they don't come to play and they don't win, they don't get in. They didn't deserve to because they've you know. And Ken Morris says, "Sorry, Kurt, late tuning in. No, it's fine. I wasn't scolding you. I was letting you know."
Ken, cool. You should know you need to be here 5 minutes before the rest of us.
Right. We even started the show late.
We give you ample opportunity, and I don't want to hear these I live in the Maritimes excuses.
And shocker, we started the show late, so.
Even without Ponder.
Yeah.
And I'm just kidding, Ken. Yeah.
But, yeah, and I think, so next up for the Blues, obviously we talked about Thursday at Ottawa, almost a must-win game. It is a must-win game. I mean, it's not must-win, but it feels like it. Saturday at Minnesota, Monday at home versus Vegas. So it should go without saying. Big three games.
Yeah.
Anything else, Bill, before we shut her down? Any other comments here?
Heavy's
having a seizure in the chat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope he's really not having a seizure. That'd be bad.
That'd be terrible. Witnessed way too many of those in my life. But yeah, this is intrigue. These are potentially our playoff games right now.
Yeah. And you know how it, I mean, teams that are fighting to get in the playoffs for weeks before the end of the season and they get in, you know, they say it every year. The commentators, you know, well, so and so, they've been playing playoff hockey for 3 weeks already, so they're already at that level. You know, now it's the teams that knew they were going to get in that may have had a playoff spot wrapped up for days and days. You know, they gotta get in playoff mode. So that's fight.
No, not fight.
Oh,
Hartman getting himself another suspension. He just dropped the gloves and started throwing them at Pierre Dubois.
Yeah, fuck Hartman.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, and when that was the thing when he skated by Bennington and clipped him that time. Bennington was like, he made comments like, you know, it's the kind of player he is. You know, he does that stuff on purpose. So that's why he got pissed off at Hartman and threw a blocker at him. Oh wow, we got a little Donnybrook going on here.
A little fracas.
Ooh.
Yeah, Hartman's tossed.
Good. Well, I didn't see what happened. Did he just sucker punch the guy or what?
No, he just started swinging at him, dropped his gloves and started swinging, and Dubois wasn't going to engage.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he gets suspended for that or not, but.
He's been suspended, what, two times so far this season? So. Yeah. It would suck if he didn't play in that game Saturday.
I want to see it again. I want to see if that's a suspendable play. I just caught the yeah. I looked up and there it was. So I didn't get I didn't brace myself for what I was about ready to see.
Yeah, he's got a little shiner going on there. So,
you're losing 6-0. We've all been there, and you're like, you get pissed off, and the littlest things on the ice will set you off, and you get pissed.
Cross check.
Might take a cheap shot. Might
talk shit, and then so just. That's not suspendable, I don't think.
So he shoves. The whack to the back. That's not. But then.
He dropped the gloves and just started swinging. He's tossed from this game, but that'll be it.
Oh, that was a good shot, though. That last. Man, he got a really good one, and he got a good licking on. Yeah, it's not suspendable. Definitely game misconduct, though.
Yeah. And what the hell is Dubois doing going after Brock fucking Faber? Biggest dude of the Kings going against
that was more
the littlest guy.
Oh, is this a replay?
Yeah.
Is it a replay? This is a replay. I'm like an old man watching a sporting event. Oh, they scored again. No, Dad, that's a replay. The volume's down. It's hard for me to hear. All right. Okay. I think Justin Scott says we're better at home than on the road now. Yeah. No, we're under 500 on the road.
Yeah.
Home has been quite nice for the Blues.
Yeah. Okay. So
all right. Yep. That's gonna do it. Let's Go Blues Radio has been brought to you in part by Rockin' That ID Life. You can get 10% off by emailing Dustin at rockinthatidlife@gmail.com and telling him Let's Go Blues Radio sent you, and by realtor Mike Burgoyne. Give Mike a call today at 314-753-4060 for all of your home buying and selling needs. That's 314-753-4060. That'll wrap up episode 24 of season 13 of the original St. Louis Blues Hockey Podcast, Let's Go Blues Radio. Thanks for listening, and thanks to those who participated in the YouTube and Facebook live chats during the live show. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. For the sky-high Jeff Ponder, Bill Day, I'm Kurt Price. Until next time, everyone. You know what? Just, you know, anybody but Vegas. Let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues.
The Chiefs are at home tonight against Cyanisport at the War Memorial at 8. Good seats are still available.
A look at sports.
I think that went very well.
Thank you for listening to Let's Go Blues Radio. Now take off, hosers.
I want you to have a heart attack and die so that we never have to do this shit again.
Well, there's 90 minutes of your life you'll never get back. Sorry.
St. Louis Blues. St. Louis Blues. Have you heard the news about our St. Louis Blues? They've only just begun, they're on their way to number one. Now there's no more blues for our St. Louis Blues.
The Blues are on the ice tonight again. They're rough and tough and got the stuff to win. They'll always get one more, no matter what the score. They are quite a hockey team, my friend.